hoping to see you real soon. We hope that you're heading here for the wedding, but not for the honeymoon. We'll be happy as can be, me and my GE. Who could ask for more? We'll live corporate life as husband and wife and raise little dividends offshore.
Speaking of big bucks, our guests are our special guests are for hire for your weddings, bar mitzvahs, funerals, labor rallies, and other special occasions. Mike, how can you be contacted?
Well, email is msdumovich, D-U-M-O-V-I-C-H, at comcast.net. And Gary, how about yourself?
I can be contacted through my website at garycantor.com. And my email is gary@garycantor, K-A-N-T-E-R.com. That's K-A-N-T-E-R, not C-A-N-T-O-R, as Brother Eric spells it. And if you spell it that way in the email, it will not arrive. If it does arrive, it will be returned postage unpaid. Mike, I can't tell you what a pleasure it was having you on the show today. And I hope you come back and visit us again.
I'll do my best. And Gary, perhaps you'll come back as well.
This is We Do the Work, KSVR, FM 91.7, Skagit Valley Community Radio, streaming live on ksvr.org. We Do the Work is a weekly half-hour radio show dedicated to the working men and women of America. This is Gary Cantor.
And Mike Dumovich.
Saying solidarity.
We all have opinions. Here are some of We Do the Work.
The Progressive magazine runs a no-comment section. They just publish things that people have said or people have done, and then they let the chips fall where they may. Here's one of them from last year. They called it Woody Guthrie, Cover Your Ears. Tea Party members and other right-wingers in Madison, Wisconsin, engaged in their own sing-along in the Capitol on July 30th to counter the anti-Walker sing-along carried out by the Solidarity Singers every workday for the past 2.5 years. The rightists changed the words of a Woody Guthrie classic. This land is my land. It is not your land. I got a shotgun, and you ain't got none. If you don't get out, I'll let my dogs out. This land is private property.
Next week, Ken interviews Stan Sorcher, labor representative for the Society of Professional Engineering Employees in Aerospace, about what trade agreements are really about, the power to divide the gains.
That's a wrap. Thank you for listening to We Do the Work.
KBU Community Radio and Peña Flamenca de Portland are proud to co-sponsor Lily Last and Pepe Rafael on Friday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. Pepe Rafael of Pepe and the Bottle Blondes will team up with Lily Last of Stomptown Flamenco for an evening of flamenco. Again, that's Lily Last and Pepe Rafael on Friday, July 25th at 7:30 p.m. at the Steep and Thorny Way to Heaven, located at Southeast 2nd Avenue and Madison Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Prison Pipeline, so stay tuned.
Baby, you understand me now.
If sometime... Good evening. This is Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. I'm Stephanie Guy. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad.
Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
My guest tonight is Wainima Leonard, who will be speaking to us about her work with the Lakota Oyate Ki Club, a Native American culture club located within Oregon State Penitentiary and run almost entirely by the men serving time within the prison walls. Have you introduced yourself?
My name is Wainima Leonard. I am one of the princesses for the Lakota Oyate Ki Club at Oregon State Penitentiary. There are three royalty members. We are the representatives of the club. We have a queen, we have one other princess, and then they have another princess, which is myself. There are local prisons within the Oregon area. We don't travel to Washington to the prisons up here yet, and we don't do federal right now, but we travel to the local one plus the youth correctional facility and the women's correctional facility, which is Coffee Creek.
So how long has this club been around?
Well, this club has been in existence since 1968.
Does it have a central mission?
Yes. It was founded originally with the intent of establishing and protecting Native American rights and traditions in the state of Oregon penal system. The members of the Lakota Oyate Ki Club have worked diligently and wholeheartedly to create and maintain a network of groups and individuals that spans throughout the prison system and beyond its walls into the outside community.
What exactly is your role in the club?
Well, what we do is, since the club members are incarcerated, we go to the outside powwows, which are up and down Washington, Oregon, California, all out here. We travel around representing the club. And then we also do what we call the powwow circuit inside the prison system. We go to the different facilities for the men and the women and the youth. And we go in and we represent the club, and we speak good words from the club. We bring some type of support from the club, that type of thing. We're like ambassadors.
Okay, so you go from the outside in and the inside out.
Yes, ma'am.
And what do you bring from the outside in?
Well, what we do generally, like when we went to Delta Park this year over here in Portland, what we did is we represented the club, meaning we would dance in during what we call grand entry during a powwow, and we would get up and we would introduce ourselves, our title, and who we represent. And if there was a message such as they need prayer or they are looking for supporters to write letters.
Okay, so this is, you would be speaking on the outside, right?
Yeah.
Now, okay. Mm-hmm.
And going to the powwows on the inside, we just generally, because the rules are different, we just go in and we just say our name, who we represent, and that's it. You know, we just say... the men of the Lakota Club, thanks you for inviting us to your powwow, you know, that type of thing. We offer a couple words of encouragement or some type of support, and that's about it.
And how much of a role do you have in organizing the powwows in Oregon State Penitentiary, or is it something that the men organize themselves pretty much?
Well, generally it's the men that do it, because the men at OSP, at the Lakota Club, they pay for pretty much everything themselves. They bead, they draw, they do some type of support. They help out one organization on the outside, and in return, they either get monetary donations brought in, or they get some type of a support. But as a royalty member, we do a little bit. What we do is we try to get volunteers to come in and attend the powwow and see what the men are doing with the club, what they're trying to do within those iron walls. We also try to get some tribal leaders to come in, different supporters. We encourage family members to try to come in, that type of thing. But we don't have physical role as if we did out here, where we would fundraise or we would do some type of general support for a powwow out here to see, again, the rules are different.
Okay, so when you do a fundraising outside, does all the money that is raised, does it go to the club?
Generally, like we are selling T-shirts, and part of that funds our travels as royalty members, because we all don't go to the same powwow. We're all three from different. I'm from Vancouver. One of them is from Eugene, and one of them is from Portland.
Okay.
And so we sell T-shirts that were designed by one of the inmates, and part of that money goes to help fund our gas and our hotel accommodations, and some of it goes back in to help out with the powwow. But generally with the Oregon State Penitentiary powwow, the men are doing it themselves.
And if you could name a couple of things that are the most helpful to the men in custody, what they can gain from being a part of the club.
Well, the three most important things that they are trying to do is, one, reconnect with their personal families on the outside to show that, yes, they have committed a crime and they are doing their punishment, but they're trying to reconnect with their families on the outside. They're also trying to reconnect with the Native community, which is so very important with the men and their families and our community, because when they get released, a lot of them want to be active in the community to help out our elders, which is always our number one concern, and our children, and trying to prevent our children coming into the system. So they're always about community and family. And then thirdly, they try to support each other. There's a lot of men in there, especially within the club, who will help teach somebody how to dance if they want to learn how to dance a certain style, how to connect with their tribe, either how to get enrolled or how to get information on how to speak the language or their tribe's traditions. They're always about community, and they do support each other, but their biggest thing is trying to prove that they have that connection still with our Native community and our Native families.
Great. Okay. And could you briefly illustrate what a powwow looks like in the prison?
Well, what we would do is we would go in during the day of the powwow. A group of us, a lot of community members will come in, spiritual leaders, volunteers who have worked within the club will come in, and we will be dressed down, which means we'll have our regalia on, and we will come in and we would sign in, and then we would be greeted by the men of the club, and we would have breakfast, which is one of the things that the Lakota Club is they feed us. And that doesn't happen normally at a powwow. You might get dinner, but you go in and you get breakfast, and it's a large amount of food. And then from there, the men are always asking if, you know, you need anything, water, you know, what have you. And then they'll start the powwow, which they'll have a grand entry. They'll have a color guard come in, either the men that are veterans or there'll be veterans that will come in from the outside, and we'll do our grand entry. And then there will be different dance styles that will be performed. There'll be some honor dancing. They'll honor the women that will come in. They'll honor some families, members. They'll honor veterans. And then they'll take care of their club business. The council will have something. They'll do whatever needs to be done, awards, that type of thing.
Okay.
And then the men throughout the whole year have been beading medallions and earrings and different gifts and paintings and drawings and such. And they'll use that for what we call a giveaway, which they'll honor certain individuals that have helped out the club. And then they will ask the people that have come in, have taken their time to come in, they will be gifted some type of a gift that the club will have made for them. And then we will have, between there, we'll have a big lunch. They'll provide a lunch for you. And then there's pictures taken. There'll be drummers. Sometimes there's three or four drum groups. I know that they have a drum group there inside the club that will drum, and there'll be some more dancing. And then at the end, they'll do what we call retire the colors, and they'll have a veteran come out and take down the flags, and then they'll close the powwow. And then after that, we will say our goodbyes, and then the visitors will be escorted out and through security, and then we'll leave. So there's a difference with a powwow on the outside where it's an all-day thing, and there's competition, and there's vendors. So there's a big difference because the rules are different. I've been to other prison powwows where they're not that long. They're like maybe just a couple hours long. Mm-hmm. There's been others where there's no powwows, where it's just a time to get together and visit.
Next, Wainima talks a bit about what she and the other princesses of the club do at the Women's Correctional Facility in Coffee Creek.
We go in and we partner up with Red Lodge. The Red Lodge group was developed for women coming out of prison, and it's ran by Trish Jordan and Tana Sanchez. And they come in the women's prison, they come in and help with the sweat, and they help with making shawls and different groups. There's a drum group within the women's facility as well. Just a couple months ago, we were there with Red Lodge to help out with what we call the spring gathering ceremony, which is the welcoming of the spring season. We have Tana Sanchez, who does fry bread for both the men and the women's facilities. And she'll come in and she'll make fry bread for the men. And then there are some prisons that we've been to that we've brought in what we call our first foods, which is deer or elk, sometimes buffalo. We'll bring in our huckleberries and roots and that type of thing so that the men can at least once a year, and the women at least once a year, get to taste some of our traditional things that they don't get every day. And I know that Trish and Tana had started the women's group there at Coffee Creek, and they're big supporters of the Lakota Club at OSP. We tried to make it what we call a quote-unquote traditional powwow, like it would be out here, within the rules that we have to abide by it. If you are just tuning in, you are listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. I'm Stephanie Guy with my guest, Wainima Leonard,
who is telling us about the Lakota Oyate Key Club at Oregon State Penitentiary. Next, she talks about an important issue that the club is currently facing.
There's the big thing that we're going through right now with the Lakota Club at OSP. Oregon State Penitentiary is the only one so far that does not allow visitors on the inmate visiting list, such as their family members and children, come to the powwow. They did back in the 60s and 70s, but there was an incident back in the 70s that had happened, and so they had no longer allowed children and family members to come into the powwow, which is very hard on our men who need to make that connection. And the prison administration always tell the public that we are family-oriented. We want our inmates to reconnect with their families so that they don't reoffend. It's important for them to connect with their children. But yet, there's only two times that a family member or families, including children, can connect with their loved ones that's incarcerated, and that's during a visit or during the parenting class. And the parenting class, there's a long wait list. And so not everybody gets to do that. It's known and it's proven that when you have that connection as an inmate with your child and or your families, especially through a powwow, traditionally for us Natives, you're more than likely not to reoffend. And so that's the big thing right now that they're trying to do, is trying to prove the importance of the family connection and community connection through this powwow, even though it's not a quote-unquote ceremony, but it also increases the bond between the children or the child and the inmates, and then the families. And they can see that their loved one is just not sitting around, not doing anything. They've been busy beating. They've been busy taking classes. They are trying to get on what we call the red road to become clean and sober, to become a productive member of society and the Native community. And we hold our elders way up high with respect of, you know, we will listen to them. And so our elders are also saying it's important for our inmates, our Native inmates, to connect with their families. So that's the biggest thing that we are fighting right now. They do sweat. They're allowed to sweat. We do have traditional religious leaders come in from the outside, and they're very few, but they do spend a lot of their time, and they come in and they sweat with our men, and they pray. They are also right now getting ready to do the spirit run, which is their version of what we call Sundance, which is a ceremony that you can do out here, depending what tribe you are. But they do what they call a spirit run, and they fast and they run for so many hours and nonstop. And it's their way of praying for their club, for their community, for their family members, for anybody that needs prayer. That's their way to do it. They don't get to smudge every day like they should be able to, so they are trying to get some rules on that. But like I said before, the biggest thing is trying to get their families to come in and see what they've been doing.
If you are interested in this issue and want to support the Lakota Oyate Key Club, here's what you can do.
They're more than welcome to write letters to the administration at OSP. They can write letters to the club, and the club members can forward it to the administration at OSP. The person who is over the Oregon State DOC is Colette Peters. She's the director. She ultimately makes the last decision. But they've been writing proposals since the year 2000, I believe.
And sorry, and who has been?
The members of the Lakota Club, they have a council. So the council and the members have been putting together written proposals on the importance of having powwows and families and children involved in them. And they've been writing this to the administration since the year 2000, I believe. And so if the supporters from outside, even if they don't, you know, have a loved one that's incarcerated, they could write letters to the Oregon State Penitentiary. They can write letters to the club. If they want to come in and volunteer, they can come in and help teach a class or help them get more monetary support.
Great. How would they go about doing that?
They have a supporter through the administration, and his name is Bill Marion. He's the one that you would go through to get on the list if you want to come in as a volunteer. The address for the Lakota Club is the Lakota Oyate Key Club, which is L-A-K-O-T-A. Oyate is O-Y-A-T-E, and then Key is K-I, and it's the Native American Culture Club. It is located at 2605 State Street, Salem, Oregon, 97310. And you can write them to that address. That is also the physical address of where the Oregon State Penitentiary is located.
Is there anything more you want to say, anything you want to leave people with?
Just a couple of things real quick about what they've done within the community around Salem. They have supported the Red Lake High School. In 2006, there was some artwork that was sold to raise funds for the Red Lake High School shooting victims. In 2007, they honored Benny Mitchell by presenting him a beaded eagle staff with a symbolic bald eagle head. Benny was a Klamath elder and spiritual leader who volunteered and committed his time with the Native American issues for well over 30 years with the club. In 2008, they organized an artwork donation drive for the Red Lodge Transition Services here in Portland to help out Native American women transitioning back into their communities. They've also donated arts and crafts and the proceeds from that for the Oregon Food Drive. They've also provided gifts and regalia to be used in the annual powwow at two of Oregon's juvenile youth institutions. They've honored dance chief Taylor Barlow with a buffalo robe. They've also, in 2011, made 30 Native American graduation sashes for the Native American students in the Salem Kaiser School District. They did the same thing in 2012. They have also donated in 2013 $100 to the American Indian Movement, AIM. They've donated $150 to the Jervis High School to support their senior class for alcohol and drug-free graduation. They also have a youth speaking panel. There's many things that they have done within the community, even though they're behind the bars. They've either made something, they've beaded moccasins, made shawls, made artwork, paintings. All that they've done has either gone straight to the powwow to honor the volunteers, or they have supported different groups on the outside. They're trying to prove that they have, that they're changing.
Right.
They have also, some of their artwork, plus along with some of the artwork from the different other prisons, have gone with Red Lodge, with Trish and Tana, and they will sell some of their artwork, and either the money will go back to Red Lodge, or sometimes it'll go back to the club to support them. So they're just not sitting there and waiting for their time to go by. They mm-hmm. are doing something with themselves. There are a few people that I have met that are no longer incarcerated. They have now become productive members of our community here in Portland. Some of them have gotten jobs at our Native Youth Center and have become a good puzzle piece to our community. Some of them have been self-advocates to help out the ones that have just returning from the inside who have been gone for a very long time. They're just little support groups here and there. Sometimes, like when if we have a booth at a powwow outside here, we will get some people that'll come by and be like, "Oh, I used to be a part of that group. You know, do you need help?" You know, they're always willing to help us, either answer questions for people that'll come by and be like, "What's it like being in prison?"
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, no problem. Anytime.
Ha ha ha!
have been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO 90.7 FM Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline or like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank my guest, Wainima Leonard, and thank you to our engineer, Danielle Parks. Good night.
Every Monday night at 8 o'clock, you can hear this voice alerting you that
you are about to cross the border.
And then follow the footsteps to a two-hour-long sustained environment of uninterrupted sonic art or new electronic, experimental, or postmodern music. Audio that breaks and rewrites the rules to create entirely new worlds of sound. Where will you be on Mondays at 8 when the door slams shut? Here on KBOO Portland.
And they'll be mine, all mine, practicing 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the Northwest Film Center screening of The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T as part of the Cinema Under the Stars program on Thursday, August 7th at 7 p.m. The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T is a musical fantasy film with the story, screenplay, and lyrics written by Dr. Seuss. Before the film, the Grand Style Orchestra will be playing a set of improvisational free jazz music. Again, that's The 5,000 Fingers of Dr. T, part of the Top Down 6